What's up, my friends? This is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Hey, we're continuing on today with this series on Hinduism. Today I want to talk about some of these Hindu gods. I can only cover 329 million in this particular podcast, but, we can't get through them all, but hey, what the heck. So I wanted to talk about some of these. And the more I study these various Hindu deities, wow. I mean, this is fascinating stuff. And I can't help but wonder, many believers in Hinduism, many Hindus, believe that these are actual factual accounts, like these are real deities. They're real, and their interactions with mankind were real. Whoa. Now, I've mentioned in previous series, Mormonism, for example, we have Joseph Smith being visited by supposedly the Father and the Angel Moroni. Well, of course, his accounts of these visions vary quite a bit, depends on which one you read. But we have Muhammad of Islam being visited by the angel Gabriel and given these visions and words, supposedly, from the Quran in heaven, right? You have all these different religions out there where they claim to have divine visitations, and then they're given writings, they're given words from some kind of deity, and then, of course, a new faith is born. We even have many in the New Apostolic Reformation, the Word of Faith movement, all these people out there that are claiming to be Christians, and oh gosh, guys, I'm sure most of them are, or at least a good chunk of them, but they're claiming to have communications from God, like, every day. You know, God's just always talking to them, and they get all kinds of bizarre things supposedly from God. And then, of course, they end up contradicting Scripture. What is this stuff, guys? When we have these, when people have these supposed visitations, is it bad pizza from the night before? You know, was it something they ate? Maybe a bit of beef or a blot of mustard. What was it? Were they visited by some kind of beings? Demons, perhaps. I don't know. I don't want to strap on my tinfoil hat too hard here, but at the same time, we know that Satan comes with lying signs and wonders. We know that he can show up as an angel of light. And so here we have situations where we've got all of these really bizarre stories about gods in Hinduism. Where did these stories come from? Now, I know that many of these priests, back when the Vedas were being written, they had certain rituals that they would perform that involved a drug called soma. I have heard that this soma drug could potentially open you up to communications with other beings. Now, there are many other drugs in cultures around the world that supposedly people take these things and then have communications with spirit beings, right? Guys, this is demonic. Whether it's all in your head or you really are having communications with some beings, this is demonic. This is to be avoided. This, in God's eyes, is an abomination. But these priests, they would do these rituals, and they would offer up some of this soma for their gods, and then they would take some of it themselves. And then, of course, then we end up with the Rig Veda and other writings. I guess cannabis was involved as well. Now, cannabis, isn't that pot? They would blend it into some of their drinks and stuff like that. Somehow they would find a way to consume it. Did that have a role in this? I don't know. But when you learn about these various gods, you just can't help but ask the question, is this all something that was cooked up in their minds? Or did they have some interactions with some beings that led them to believe this? All right, we've got these stories from the Old Testament where there are giants in the land. What was up with that? See my series on the ancient astronaut theory. I get into some bizarre tinfoil hattery kind of stuff. Okay, but there's all these legends from around the world of giants And many of these stories, these giants have supernatural abilities and are downright evil. They consume human flesh. Weird stuff. Is this all mythology? Well, very well could be. Or was there a time on the planet before the flood where things were a little more corrupt than perhaps we're willing to give it? I don't know. But here you go. Here's Rama. All right, let's talk about Rama. Rama is one of the incarnations of Vishnu, I believe the eighth incarnation of Vishnu. And you can read about Rama in the Ramayana. Okay, he was kind of the symbol of chivalry, virtue, the embodiment of truth and morality, the ideal son, the ideal husband, and the ideal king. All right, so he was kind of a good dude, all right, according to their traditions. Wikipedia, speaking of Rama, talking about Rama's life, it says, Rama's life and journey is one of perfect adherence to Dharma despite harsh tests of life and time. He is pictured as the ideal man and the perfect human. For the sake of his father's honor, Rama abandons his claims to Kosala's throne. I probably mispronounced that, but whatever. I apologize, guys. It is what it is. So he abandons his claim to Kosala's throne to serve in exile of 14 years in the forest. His wife, Sita, and brother Lakshmana, unable to live with Rama, decide to join him, and all three spend the 14 years in exile together. While in exile, Sita is kidnapped by Ravana, the Rakshasa monarch of Lanka. Okay, wow. All right, stop right there. Have you guys heard of the Rakshasas? And I'm probably mispronouncing that too. These guys, wow, as I was studying the different Hindu beliefs, the Rakshasas blew me away. Okay, these guys are almost like our Western version of like a vampire, I suppose. Okay, really weird beings. Okay, Wikipedia says of Rakshasas, they were most often depicted as ugly, fierce-looking, and enormous creatures with two fangs protruding down from the top of the mouth as well as sharp, claw-like fingernails. They are shown as being mean, growling-like beasts and as insatiable cannibals who could smell the scent of flesh. Some of the more ferocious ones were shown with flaming red eyes and hair, drinking blood with their palms or from a human skull, similar to vampirism, later in Western mythology. Generally, they could fly, vanish, and had maya, that's illusion, magical powers of illusion, which enabled them to change size at will and assume the shape or form, of any creature. All right, so these guys were shapeshifters. They could get huge or small. They could fly. They drank blood. A lot of times they would disguise themselves as really hot ladies, okay? And they would seduce the men, and then they would drink their blood and devour them. They also had the ability to possess people, okay? I guess they could drink someone's blood and make them kind of like part of their undead army. They could also raise recently dead people who had died recently, and use them as an undead army. They would often hang out in graveyards. That would be kind of the place they would generally make their home base. Weird. And so that's the Rakshasa. I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's pretty fascinating stuff right there. What's not to like? I run into these guys all the time, But so going on with Rama and what, his life. After a long and arduous search, okay, so again, Sita, his wife, she gets kidnapped by this Ravana that is a Rakshasa monarch of Lanka. So she gets kidnapped, and after a long and arduous search that tests his personal strength and virtue, Rama fights a colossal war against Ravana's armies. You should see the pictures of this stuff. And make a great movie, I'll tell you what. Don't make that movie, but anyway. In a war of powerful and magical beings, greatly destructive weaponry and battles, Rama slays Ravana in battle and liberates his wife. Having completed his exile, Rama returns to be crowned king in Ayodhya. Oh, boy. I can't pronounce that. Ayodhya, the capital of the kingdom, and eventually becomes emperor and rules with happiness, peace, prosperity, and justice, a period known as Rama Raja. Now, I've looked at pictures of Rama online. He looks... I guess I originally thought he was a girl by the pictures, but no. He's blue. What's up with the blue skin? All right. When you look at a lot of these Hindu deities, why the blue skin? What is up with that? Well, that would be an interesting question, because I searched all over online and I could not find a definitive answer to why so many of these Hindu deities have blue skin. The best I could come up with was Vishnu, I guess, is associated with water, okay, and water is blue. And so you have all these different incarnations of Vishnu, a lot of times being depicted as blue. Apparently, it also, that blue color, blueness of skin, was associated with their ability and capacity to fight evil. All right, it had something to do with virtue and being able to fight evil. Guys, beyond that, I mean, it's hard to find much of anything talking about why do Hindu deities have blue skin. So that is going to be a mystery for another series. Sooner or later, I'm going to run into somebody who's got a better answer than that. But that just stumps me. You know, you look at all these pictures, and about half of them, you find that these deities have blue skin. Why? Why the blue skin? Were they taking too much colloidal silver? What's going on here? Okay, so anyway. Now, I'm almost to the 15-minute mark, but I want to read something that I found online. I was searching about this story, about Rama, and, you know, this battle in the forest to get his wife back from these Rakshasas. Now, here's an excerpt from an article from a website called Before It's News, which... they don't get a blank check from me. I've read some of the articles from this website before. Some of them are spot on and really good. Some of them, not too sure. But this is what they said concerning this situation with Rama. It says, interestingly, a parallel myth to the biblical narrative found in Genesis does exist. It comes to us from the pages of the Hindu epic of Ramayana. The Ramayana is the epic tale of Rama, the seventh avatar of the supreme god Vishnu. Rama lived during the Treta Yuga. I have no idea what that is. It was an age where the world was filled with giants. Oh, I guess now I know. Monsters, serpents, and demons. When Rama was born, the supreme god Vishnu requested that all of the other gods descend to the earth and mate with the apes and the bears. Okay, what? Vishnu, knowing what was in store for Rama, wanted to create an army to help Rama conquer and kill the giant demon king of Lanka Ravana. That would be that Rakshasa that we talked about. The offspring of the unions between the various gods and the apes created a group of individuals who inherited a vast array of impressive skills. The mighty Sugriva, for example, was the son of Surya, the chief solar deity. Sugriva was destined to be the ruler of this new race of ape men, the Vanara. The demigod Hanuman, we're going to talk about him in a few minutes. Oh, yeah. Have you guys ever heard the rumor that Barack Obama has a Hanuman, little miniature Hanuman idol statue thing that he carries around with him? I think there was a... Oh, man, what was that? Chicago Tribune. There was a story for a while that Obama had one of these gods that he carries around with him, like it's a good luck charm. We'll never know. Who knows? Whatever the case, the demigod Hanuman was the son of the wind god and is described being fleet of foot and as being able to travel as quick as the wind. Vishwakarma, the god of architecture, father Nala and Nila, It was through their divine knowledge that they, with the help of the rest of the Vanara, built a bridge from mainland India to Lanka, a feat of engineering that many believe still exists today. In this narrative, it was not only a few children who were born through this union, but thousands, each with his or her own unique god-like skills and abilities. And here's a little excerpt from the Ramayana. These thousands did these gods create, endowed with might that none could mate, in monkey forms that changed at will, so strong their wish, the fiend to kill. Wow. Wow. All right, so I'm at that 15-minute mark, and instead of 329 million gods, I was able really only to look at one today, but that was Rama. Now, tomorrow, we'll breeze through a whole bunch of other ones. Hopefully, I'll be able to get through about 9 more tomorrow. That's right. I'm only going to do 10. Just interesting stuff, really. And, you know, I guess a lot of you guys, this may never have any bearing on any kind of usefulness as far as witnessing goes, but I know many of you are interested in learning about this stuff anyway. It's fascinating to hear about these different gods that Hindus believe in. And it boggles my mind that there are really somewhere around 330 million of them out there. I mean, I've heard of a Hindu god of rats, and there are temples where they have just thousands of rats. Anyway, I'll stop right there. Friends, if you want to chat about this, you can catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm imagining I'm going to hear a few things from you guys on this one. This was a bizarre episode. And so with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.